Hello, I'm Bill Winston, and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. I'm sitting in for Brother Kenneth and Sister Gloria Copeland. I'm sitting into a place that I'm telling you it's a pleasure to be. They have been such a blessing to so many people's lives. How many years has Brother Copeland been broadcasting the program on television and over the media? I tell you, the ministry that they've had and the faithfulness in their ministry has caused a lot of us to come out of darkness and be able to operate in things that we probably never thought we could be able to do. And so I just, my hat's off to them. I just compliment them on the faith that they have and the persistence. I mean, they have not changed, have been consistent from day one, staying with the Word of God. Praise the Lord. So it's a good example for all of us. Well, I'd like to go back again into the teaching of the kingdom of God. And this is the kingdom of God reality, talking about the kingdom of God that is in us. Now, just a little review. The kingdom of God is the rule of God. It's the realm of God. It's the anointing of God and the dominion of God. It's the system of God. It's the government of God. It's the reality of God. It's all these things wrapped up into one. It's the kingdom of God. Now, this is what Jesus preached. If you look through the scriptures, you'll see constantly that he preached the gospel of the kingdom, healing, delivering, saving. He was doing these things in a time showing people the power of this kingdom that he preached about. Now, this kingdom at this time is another reality. It's an invisible reality. Now, we said that that kingdom was then first in the kingdom of God in the Garden of Eden, and Adam functioned in that kingdom reality. However, when Adam got put out of the kingdom because of disobedience between disobedience of he and Eve, they got put out of the garden. Now life became hard. It became a toil, became sweat. But now Jesus has come to take the sweat out of life. Praise God. He's made it so that we can have sweatless victories. And I thank God for it. Now, as we teach this, one of the things that we covered last time is the fact that God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Bill Winston, he'll do for you. Makes no difference. Some people think because God is a God that only measures out his promises and his blessings to a few people. No. Anybody that is in that kingdom becomes a kingdom citizen, and there's no respecter of persons. I heard Brother Copeland say this, and I think this is true. And remember that Joseph had that dream, that the blessing of Abraham was on Joseph, and it proved out so over when he got down to Egypt and how he was raised up to be prime minister over Egypt. But I think, like Brother Copeland, that that blessing was really available for all the people, all the brothers. But it's faith that helps us to come into these things, that God's blessings can be there, but many times people don't receive them because they haven't had faith or haven't been taught or whatever have you. So I'm teaching you now some things that can help bring you into the kingdom of God reality. Now, in the kingdom, there is no shortage. And today we might be experiencing, some people say, well, there's a shortage of gasoline, or there's a shortage. In the kingdom, there is no shortage. Now, one of the things that we said is that Jesus is the king, and he's our provider. He's provided for us everything that we'll have need of, independent of what's going on around us. So it doesn't make any difference. Now, I look at the kingdom this way. Now, I'm going to say this, but I need you to kind of envision this with me. Use your imagination a little bit. Now, there's something called a glacier. I think that's the way it's pronounced. Now, a glacier is something that is a mountain, really, that's in the water. It comes up, and all you see is what we call the tip of the iceberg. We see something that's in the water, but it's extending down in the water, and only a tip is showing out of the water. Now, that's the way I look at the kingdom of God. Because what we've seen in the earth is a tip of something. For example, when Jesus was on the mountainside preaching, all these people were out there. The Bible said there were 5,000 plus women and children. Now, Jesus then told the disciples to feed them. Now, that was something based on what they had they felt was close to impossible. Because one, they'd have to go get some food, and no telling how long that might take. And then secondly, could they get enough with what they had to buy enough so that everybody could have a sufficient amount? So now they're up against a place that is too difficult for them. Now the Bible said that Jesus knew what he would do. Why? Because he's got this kingdom reality which comes with the wisdom of God that functions inside of us. It's that direct connection with the Father. Now, Jesus then, one of the disciples said to Jesus, there's a lad here. He's got two fish and five loaves of bread. But what is that among so many? Now understand, here comes revelation. And the revelation that God is imparting to his spirit is the fact that these two fish and five loaves are seed. And that this seed can be sown for a harvest. Now understand, Jesus called them to do things like that when he had been teaching. He would teach them first and then called them to act on what he had taught. Well, as quick as that revelation came, here came reason. And here comes reason. And reason comes to negate that revelation. And the same thing can happen in our lives if we're not vigilant. That as soon as God had tried to give us revelation, here comes reason telling us why it's impossible or how it's impossible for us to be able to do that. Then Jesus said, give me the fish. He got the fish, two fish and five loaves, and they multiplied. Now, they multiplied, and this multiplication came through the hands of Jesus, the anointed one, the anointing. The anointing is also the kingdom of God. So it comes through that anointing. Now, as it did, he was able to feed everybody. See? Now, their problem then now is not the lack of food, but it's the lack of knowledge. It's the lack of the power of that anointing working so that they can manifest what God had planned. Now, God is Jehovah Jireh, meaning to me that he does not wait till something's needed for him to produce it. He'll produce it beforehand. How far beforehand? Before the foundation of the world. And I use the analogy that if a baby is born in a hospital, you bring the baby home, everything is ready in the baby's room. The same thing about us. When we are born into this earth, everything's prepared for us. Now, that which is prepared for us, for the most part, may be in the invisible realm. Now, that's part of the kingdom of God. Now, that invisible realm is a place where provisions have been stored for us, and those provisions are for us in our time of need. Whenever we need them or whenever we want them, we can get these provisions. Now, let me give you another example of that. Now, just hear what I'm saying. Jesus was, let me give you this. Joseph had prepared storehouses for the famine to come. And so what happened was his brothers came down to Egypt to get some food. Now, how much food was there? Let's look at that. I want to look at that. Now, I know I'm not sure I ask you to turn anywhere, but let's go back to Genesis, if you will. And let's go back to Genesis and chapter 40. Let's go to Genesis chapter 42. Now, this is when Joseph had been raised up in Egypt, Joseph being a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. You know, he started his ministry at 30 years old and so forth and so on. Now, look what it says here in Genesis chapter 41, and look at verse 56. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened up the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt, and all countries came unto Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was sore in all the lands. Now, watch the next verse. Now, when Jacob saw that there was no corn in Egypt, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I've heard there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence that we may live and not die. Now, this is Jacob. He's sending his sons now down to Egypt to get some food. Where is he? He's in Canaan. What's happening? A famine. Now, do you remember when God called Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he said, go into a land that I will show you, and I'll make of you a great nation. I'll bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Remember that? I'll bless them that bless you, curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now notice what God was doing. In Genesis, because of Adam's sin, he had lost his family. Now through Abram, or Abraham, he's going to regain his family. See? And this is when Jesus preached, when Jesus came, he said, God so loved the world. See, the Jewish leaders say, wait a minute, now hold it. See, he was including the world in the package of blessings. And see, that's what God came to do. He came to recover the whole world, see. And see, just like Adam lost it, now Jesus is going to get it back. The whole world, see. It, true enough, he chose the Jew first, but the Jew first so that the Jew could take the gospel to the nations. Praise God. He wanted everybody to be saved. The Bible says God desires that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He does, still does. Doesn't make a difference what country you're looking at this in. He desires that everybody be saved. So now here's Jacob, one of the covenant. He is in covenant with God through Abraham. And now Jacob is sending his sons down to Canaan. Well, remember when God sent Abram and told him to come out of that country and showed him the place to go, and he sent him to Canaan. But Canaan was in famine when Abram got there. And then Abram went on down to Egypt. Remember that? He went down there and told Pharaoh that Sarah was his sister. Well, my point to you is, Canaan was the place he was supposed to stop. God knew that. But God was going to show him how to prosper in a time of famine. You see, that God hasn't changed here. Let me give you another scripture here. Let me just now he's sending. Let me get my point here. I'm trying to cover too many things maybe at a time, but let's just zero in on something. There was a famine in Canaan, and Jacob was supposed to know how to operate through sowing and reaping, seed time and harvest, and get his needs met anytime. You see, this is the revelation that he was supposed to have had. In fact, he got the revelation over there in Genesis chapter 30 and 31 when he worked for a man named Laban. Every time he waited on a salary, Laban, the Bible says that Jacob was commenting, saying, Laban has changed my salary 10 times. I mean, the moment I get a raise, he makes some adjustment. And that's what's happening out here today. I mean, the moment you get a raise in your salary, what happens to gas? Now, how high is gas now? You know what I mean? I'm saying the enemy is changing his system. See, and as long as you rely on that salary, you're still being controlled. He's changing the system. The more money you get, boom, he pumps bread up. He pumps gas up. And so forth. Used to, wow, it looks like I'm not getting ahead. You're right. You know, because you got to switch systems. You got to come off of that. See, the system in the garden was not buying and selling. It was sowing and reaping. God intended for you to have control over your own financial destiny. Now, if you're waiting on God, you're waiting too long. God has already blessed you. He has already made it so that all you have to do is sow. I mean, he's given you authority and he's given you seed. He gave you dominion and he gave you the garden. Now you go after it. You determine how rich you want to be. You determine how high you want to go. You determine what promotion you want to. You determine that. You've got something to say about this time here. Now God has given you that because he wants you to exercise your will. He wants you to be in charge of this earth and so forth. True enough, we get the wisdom of God, but you're not waiting on God. God is not moved by need. I mean, we know that because if you knew by he doesn't violate your free will is what I'm saying. I'm saying if that were the case, he'd just knock the fruit out of Adam's hand. Put that down. No, you let him eat it. You see? I mean, there are people in the world starving to death right now. A God of love? No. Because he has set up rules in the earth. And he himself has to abide by that. So it's us. See, we're supposed to take that gospel. We're supposed to show people how they can live according to the kingdom of God and not according to the economy of this world. The economy of this world is a system that has been put together or invented by man and by Egypt. It's a Babylonian system. See, we got to come off that system. We got to come up here because every time that Laban raises wages, Laban does something with the salary, see, because it's his job. His job is to keep us under bondage. His job is to keep us from leaving that system and be fearful enough not to want to venture out. Praise God. But what you got to do is you got to get a breakthrough. Say breakthrough. Praise the Lord. You got to get a breakthrough. You got to say, wait a second. I'm tired of this. You see, most people that retire today, I read it in one of the journals, today cannot write a $5,000 check. Most people today in the U.S. have a zero net worth. What had happened? They owe so much until the money that they've saved, if you pay it all off, it comes to zero. That's Laban, boy. Laban's pumping that system up. You don't have to be like that. No, no. So now here, Jacob, he's sending his sons down to Egypt to get something to eat. Why? Because Joseph is down there. Now, Joseph has a revelation operating in the kingdom of God reality, operating in the mystery and the wisdom of God, telling Pharaoh how we can have more than enough in time of famine so that we can convert the wealth of the world over into the kingdom. Praise God. Now, let's look at Psalms real quick. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is good stuff. Now, this is how Bill Winston's living. And God is no respecter person. He's waiting on you to live the same way. All right, look what it says here in Psalms chapter 37. I'll start reading at verse 19. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. In the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. Now, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Now, I looked up evil time in another translation in Hebrew. It means times of great stress when times get hard. That's what it means. They, who's they? Previous verse will tell you they. It's talking about the upright. It's talking about the righteous, us. We shall not be ashamed when times get hard. For in the days of famine, glory to God, we shall be satisfied. Now, wait a minute. Now, somebody say, so what does satisfied mean? I took the word satisfied and looked that word up. Here's what it means. In the days of famine, they have abundance. We supposed to have abundance in the days of famine. Now, I'm only saying this, that the tip of the iceberg, but turn the iceberg up the other way. And what you see right now is a tip that's got something in it, but most of that iceberg is underwater. It's in the invisible. And so now I got all these provisions up here. And now all I see is this. So all he had two fish and five loaves. But if you sow that, now you can get a harvest off of what's in the invisible to come into the visible. You got what I'm saying? It's not like God's going to put it there once you sow it. He's going to put it in. He's already put it there. The storehouse is already there. All they had to do is go down there with some seed. Praise God. Now, in this particular case, Jacob sent his boys down there. Now, understand, he thought Joseph had died because of the sons lying to him and telling him Joseph got killed by a beast. But Joseph had been sold as a slave down there in Egypt and was raised up in Egypt. You see, I believe sometimes God has to move us. There's a fish, they tell me in Japan, that fish, if you put it in a small tank, he'll grow about 3 inches. And they tell me if you put him in a larger aquarium, he'll grow about a little over 11 inches. But they tell me if you put him in a huge pond, he'll grow over 3 feet. Some of y'all, you know, we need a bigger tank. You know, sometimes God wants to move us to where we can really expand. I mean, well, I don't know, Lord, you know, just fearful of leaving a system. And we can't be fearful of that. God has got a better place for us. But I tell you, the flesh will fight you every time. So in the days of famine, you and I are going to have more than enough. Why? Because we're going to take care of other folk. What was Joseph able to do? He'll take care of the world. Take care of the world. Feed the world. I believe the church is put here to feed the world. That we're supposed to show them exactly what the kingdom of God is like. It's got so much that even when you eat it, you can eat more than enough. I gave you that example last week. I told you about when I was a kid, my dad used to have this little glass, give me this little glass and pour a little milk in there and so forth. I used to drink it because I was a growing boy. Next thing I know, try to get some more milk. Hit my hand. That's enough. Yeah, too much is bad for you. Too much. I didn't have but that much. Well, you know, when I got older and started mowing lawns and making my own money, I got me a half a gallon of milk and sat on the curb right there and drunk that rascal. I mean, I put it down. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying all of us know that we've been made for abundance. None of us has been made for scarcity. And the only way scarcity came in is through the fall. Adam had so much plenty in that garden, he couldn't move 2 feet without bumping up against a bunch of grapes. He had so much in that garden. Now, what is Jesus doing? Over in Matthew chapter 6, now Jesus is teaching on that. He's teaching on, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, he's telling us now, seek God's way of doing things. Seek the way God does things so that he can add all these things to you. Because the Bible tells us in the last days, over in Matthew chapter 24, there's going to be wars. We have in wars. Rumors of wars. We have in those. Earthquakes, natural disasters, famines, lack. We're having also, it says pestilences. That means diseases. But it says be of good cheer. Praise God. Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. I'm telling you, I'm going to teach you through the scriptures how to overcome the world in Jesus' name. This is Bill Winston. I'll be right back. Well, praise the Lord. I trust that you enjoyed that. Now, again, that's a kingdom of God and how we can get this kingdom of God reality functioning in our lives. Folks, we don't need to live by the standards of the world. There are new standards in Christ that you and I can take advantage of. Speaking of taking advantage of something, let me tell you, this offering that you've seen here, this True Prosperity and Looking for a Receiver, this is a dynamite set of books. You know, God is looking for a receiver. He's got it coming, but he needs somebody to receive it. So it'll give you a great spiritual foundation for true success. Because I'm not talking about just prosperity and finances. I'm talking about you failing in any area of your life. This is the kind of book that you need. It'll really do you good. You need to get this package. I want you to write us or however you want to get in contact with us. Kenneth and Gloria will be glad to send this out to you free of charge. We want to bless you, bless your household, and this is the way of doing it in this particular broadcast. Let's pray for Brother Ken and Sister Gloria right now. Father, we come before you and thank you for Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Thank you for the ministry and how they've been consistent and how they've stayed the course in every situation according to the Word of God. How they've been such an example for the rest of us and leaving a legacy for everyone to follow. Father, now as we go forward, as they go forward, we pray that you bless their steps and bless the things that they're doing, for you promised to bless the work of our hands. We thank you for them. Thank you for your blessings on them. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, in just 2 weeks now starts the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign. That's November 9th through 11th in Woodbridge, Virginia. There's a special anointing that takes place, by the way, in these meetings. So if you come, you're going to be glad you did. When Kenneth and Gloria have a meeting, I'm telling you, there is faith in those meetings. The atmosphere is so charged with faith. You're looking for answers sometimes. Just come and sit in the meeting and watch answers come to you just seemingly out of nowhere. Well, this is Bill Winston saying we have enjoyed bringing these teachings to you because the kingdom of God resides inside of you. Now, remember, on behalf of Kenneth and Gloria, this is Bill saying, Jesus is Lord.
Thanks for watching the Believer's Voice of Victory. Remember to request your special gift from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Receiving True Prosperity is a 2 mini book package available when you contact Kenneth Copeland Ministries online at kcm.org by phone at 800-575-4455 or by writing to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192.